am Nancy Wilson.
Mike Campbell.
Mark Mother's Bathroom Devo.
Hey, it's Adam from Counting Crows, and I am here giving you the story behind the song.
The story behind the song is back for season four. I'm Peter Chidi of Deep Cuts Media, and this season we're diving even deeper into some of music history's most iconic tracks with the legends who made them.
What's so beautiful about it is a lot of people connect with, you gotta live your life and don't let the big man push you down. Don't have to live like a refugee, can't keep fighting for what you believe. And that was Tom.
From the spark of inspiration to untold tales from the studio, we unlock the true stories that shape the music you love.
At the time on the radio, there was a really cool riff by Nazareth covering a Joni Mitchell song, This Flight Tonight. It had the same groove, but I think Barracuda kind of blew it out of the water.
Join us as we all sit down with music icons like Devo, Heart, Mike Campbell of Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Sublime, Counting Crows, and so many more. New episodes are out now from the Consequence Podcast Network, so tune in wherever you get your podcast and join me for the story behind the song.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith with... It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks for making your way here. For checking out the episode, hit that subscribe button. If you're not already, I'll give you three interviews just like this one every single week. You can grab us at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from. You can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it, because we've had some great guests drop by lately. Sabrina Impacciatore from The Paper, the spinoff of The Office. Lizzie Hale of Hailstorm was here. Wayne Coyne of The Flaming Lips. We talked with the cast of Alien Earth, including Timothy Oliphant, Sydney Chandler, David Risdahl, and showrunner, director, creator Noah Hawley as well. Let's see here. DJ Shadow dropped by, Black Eyed Peas, Devo, Genndy Tartakovsky, legendary animator Genndy Tartakovsky. We talked with Amy Berg behind the It's Not Over, Jeff Buckley documentary, and They Might Be Giants also dropped in. Just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, it's going to be a special Rewind episode, double feature. Going to be talking with Mark Allman, who you, of course, know from Soft Cell, and later on, Paul Humphreys from Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Now, first, we're going to go back to my interview with Mark Allman, 2017. In fact, both these interviews are from 2017. Mark had just released his solo record, Shadows and Reflections. It was his 60s-leaning orchestra-kissed set that dodged the usual songbook and leaned into Baroque, slightly Gothic torch songs. He talked about treating arrangements like sacred architecture, working with Mike Stevens, slipping in two originals into the set, and that lifelong curator streak that once turned Tainted Love from obscurity into identity. All that and more, part one of this special Rewind episode. This is Kyle Meredith with Mark Allman of Soft Cell.
Great to talk to you, too.
You know, from what I've heard from this record, it's really fun. Shadows and Reflections is your new record, a covers record, though there were two originals on here as well. But most of the songs feel like they come from a specific era. Was there a concept going into it?
Yeah, I really picked the 60s. I mean, well, I signed a brand new record deal with BMG this year, and BMG said to me, "Oh, we'd love you to do a covers record. We'd like you to do an album of original songs, but first to do a cover of a covers record." So I thought, well, what am I going to do? And they wanted an orchestral record. So I went back to a decade that I really love, which is the 60s, which is the year, the decade I grew up with, you know, listening to music, pop music for the first time. Because there was a great, the songs from that time were a great kind of combination of pop and rock, experimentation and classical as well. So I thought, well, I can bring in the orchestra and mix it with the pop and pick on some of the songs that I love from that period and make an album that kind of sounds a bit like a film soundtrack or something. So it would be this kind of thematic record of torch songs, sort of lost love, come back to me, where have you gone, I'm lonely without you. But it wouldn't just be an album of just the regular standards kind of songs that a lot of people do. It'd have this different kind of feel of some of these great sort of baroque, sort of gothic songs of the 60s.
You know, a lot of the songs from that era were so adventurous. Really was a golden age for melody. Maybe because everything was so new and all you could do was really experiment, and there was classical music that was a part of all those sounds. How hard was it to get the breadth and depth of those songs?
Well, first of all, I worked with a great producer and musical arranger, Mike Stevens, who's worked with Annie Lennox and ELO amongst lots of other people. So he's got that mix of sort of classical and pop, and he's a great kind of MD. And I wanted to work with someone who could not sort of totally reinvent the songs, because you can't totally reinvent them. You have to kind of pay tribute and pay homage really to the arrangements on some of those records, because that's what makes the sound of the records as much as the vocals or the lyrics or anything else. So I wanted to get that mixture of somebody who could work with classical instruments, arrangements, big backing vocal sounds, and could set my vocal to sound the best it could in the middle of it all. So I didn't want to move too far away from the originals, but I wanted to kind of bring a modern twist to it as well. So, and yeah, you're right, it was a fantastic time for experimentation and people doing things that were new with those strong melodies that were right in the middle. So, you know, even doing like the rock and roll, or the, you know, or the Beatles doing Sgt. Pepper, or some of those songs that mixed kind of rock and classical, there was always great melodies set in the middle. And I think that was because we grew out of the time of the 50s and the 40s, when there were still the crooners, still the sort of crooner feeling in people's minds of songs, of proper songs. And that kind of made its way into the 60s and mixed with that experimentation as well, giving great kind of interesting sounding records.
And we'll be right back right after this.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Mark Allman of Soft Cell.
And I'm sure you've heard these songs, what, hundreds of times, if not more. Although none of these are completely popular, maybe a few minor standards, but nothing like overly popular.
That's what I like to do. Yeah, it's a pick songs that people kind of know a little bit, but they don't over know. You know, they don't know too much. I mean, there are certain sort of standard songs that people sing on orchestral albums that are from the songbook. You know, the songbook songs, and that's great. And I love those songs too. But I try to pick songs that people might have heard in the back of their memory somewhere, but they're not over familiar. familiar with them. And in that way, I can kind of, I can give them a familiarity with the song, but also take them and make them my own and put my own stamp on them. So people, a new audience will hear them and they'll say, oh, that's a Mark Allman song, you know, and then maybe they'll go back and hear the original. But my audience will equate it with being my song. And the people who remember the original song will kind of, it will set their memory going and they'll remember it. And it's getting that balance between something that's not too overknown and oversung.
And a lot of those vocalists, especially in the 50s and before, which I know is before most of these songs came around, but they had a career as an interpreter. And you've certainly had a great career with your own music, but you've been able to enjoy that sort of art as well, like interpreting others.
It's great. I've always felt that I've always looked on myself and I've always been like, you know, I like to write songs, but sometimes I like to, I'm not the most natural songwriter. Some people can play an instrument and they can play an instrument as well as sing and they can write songs very naturally. I can't. I have to work with other people and collaborators to write music. So it's not always there at my fingertips. So I spend a lot of time looking for songs, you know, looking for archives of songs and of songs that I think that, well, you know, I'd like to have written that song. I couldn't have written a song as good as that, so I would like to take that song and make it mine or bring it to my audience and be a kind of curator, I think, in a way of song. I think there are great loads of hundreds of songs out there that are fantastic songs which a lot of people have maybe forgotten about or not aware about. Or for example, with Tainted Love, for example, was, you know, right back then we took a song that was not really a big hit at the time. It was quite a pretty obscure song, kind of known in the kind of 60s soul circles and things. And we took it and gave a stamp to it and did something original, different with it, and made it our own song. And I still love to do that.
With that said, there are two originals on this record, right?
Uh-huh, yep. I wrote with a regular songwriting partner and producer of mine, Christopher Braid, who's based in Los Angeles, and who's a songwriter. He works with Sia, with a lot of different people. And he's been my main collaborative songwriter over the past few years. And I wrote a song with a British composer called John Hall, who wrote for a lot of film soundtracks, a lot of TV show soundtracks, winning lots of awards for them as well. And I wrote a song with him, which kind of formed the kind of centerpiece of the album, a song called No One to Say Goodnight To, which is very filmic and sets up the kind of theme for the whole record, really.
And it fits right in with all of these classics.
Yeah, the song I wrote with Chris Braid, Embers, is, we wanted to give a Walker Brothers feel, you know, the Walker Brothers, that big harmonies, big strings, big ballad sound, Righteous Brothers, Walker Brothers, those harmony vocals that sound huge, those huge songs.
Well, I've loved what I've heard so far, and I cannot wait to hear the rest. It was really great talking with you, Mark.
It was great to talk to you, too, and thank you so much.
That is my thanks to Mark Allman talking about the 2017 release, Shadows and Reflections. And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith, a special Rewind episode. Now, just a month after I had done that interview, I got on the line with OMD's Paul Humphreys, who walked us through their record, The Punishment of Luxury, which was an album that balanced nostalgia with invention. In fact, four decades in, the band was still finding ways to strip things back, experiment with odd sounds, take inspiration from paintings and politics, proof that OMD aren't coasting on the past hits, still out to surprise us. This is part two of this Rewind episode. It's Kyle Meredith with Paul Humphreys of Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
Nice to talk with you.
Well, I'm excited to be talking to you, and especially excited to be talking about new music. So, well, let's just start. You know, I read it in a press release, I guess, of you all talking about there's new territory this time around. And I feel like that's probably a good starting question here is, what exactly were you guys stepping out into, you know, that you hadn't done before with this album?
I mean, it's very hard to kind of, particularly a band who've been going for, it's going to be 40 years next
right.
year that the band's been going for. It's very hard to keep going forward and finding new areas that we haven't covered. But you know, it's the kind of OMD remit to try to never sort of repeat ourselves in some ways. I mean, there will always be the natural signature that Andy and I have for our songs. You know, you can't kind of divorce the way I sort of write keyboard melodies and the way Andy sings. But the package of which in which you put those songs sonically, we tried to vary throughout all our records. And particularly with The Punishment of Luxury, the new album, we've tried to kind of marry sort of new sounds, modern sounds, modern recording techniques, modern ways to do things with our kind of natural OMD way of doing things. And we've also, I mean, last year we did a show playing the whole of Dazzleships and the whole of Architects Morality at the Royal Albert Hall in London. And there were some songs for Dazzleships that we hadn't ever played before. And so I had to kind of find all the sounds and deconstruct them and rebuild them. And in doing that, I kind of realized how simple some of those early songs were. There was only like five instruments in the whole song. And it kind of struck me that we should kind of try to go back to a more sort of simplistic way of doing things. So I tried to put that into the new OMD album as well.
Kind of interesting when you, I mean, I talked to the artists about that around here too. It's like, you shouldn't be afraid of the simple, because it's very easy to start overthinking things. And
exactly, particularly with the modern technology now. I mean, it's we call it the tyranny of choice, because you've got so many different synthesizers with so many different sounds they can make. I mean, whatever you can imagine, you've got a machine that can make that sound, and you've got all of these choices in front of you, and you can just end up getting lost in your choices. So, I mean, that was another thing with this album, is it's like, in the same way a painter, you know, chooses a palette of colors before he starts, we kind of did that with this to remove the masses of endless choices that's in front of you, so that you kind of still concentrate on writing the song rather than getting completely immersed and lost in all the potential choices that you can have in front of you, and then you lose sight of what you're trying to do.
And you talk about that balancing act. I mean, that is got to be a little bit rough, the balancing act of acknowledging your past while still playing, you know, for the present, still going somewhere new. Like, do you find those moments where even on this record, did you find those moments where you're like, you know what, no, like, that's a little bit too much nostalgia for that moment. Let's brush that aside.
Yeah, because you can kind of slip into old ways of doing things and comfortable ways of doing things, but you know we've always wanted to step out of our comfort zone in terms of our sort of songwriting and try to go places that kind of scare us a little bit or where we're not comfortable. I mean, there's a song called "As We Open, So We Close" on the album. It's a really important track for the album, I think, because we'd been listening to, as we did in the 70s, we've been listening to modern German music, and there's an artist called Atom TM, like Atom trademark, and he did an album 2 years ago, and he's basically, there's a new movement of electronic music called glitch, and it's basically you make music out of the things you would normally discard, like clicks and pops and bleeps and stuff. And all of those things you try to make music out of. And it's very, very hard. So many bands can't do it. And there's so much rubbish of glitch out there, because you go, okay, it's a great idea, but do I want to listen to it again? Probably not, you know. Whereas Atom TM found a way to marry that with good tunes. And we thought, right, maybe we can do that. And so As We Open, So We Close is a kind of, we use all these kind of crazy, like, sounds that you would throw away, but made a really beautiful song out of it. So.
And again, as you said, 40 years into it, and you guys are finding new ways to do that. I mean, that's the reason why we've been fans, you know, through the whole time anyway, is that you've, I mean, there's obviously, you've got big hits that we love hearing in the concerts, but as a fan, but,
we're not one of these bands that are kind of embarrassed by our former hits, you know, and our former glories, if you like. I mean, we embrace our back catalogue. We're very proud of our back catalogue, and we don't sort of shy away from playing it. I mean, we also play, you know, a lot of retro festivals in Europe where we just play our old hits, just because it's fun, and we love these songs, and these songs have served us very well. And these songs, they're like time capsules. They're like hooks to hang memories on of your past, you know, and they kind of transform. Like when I go and see Kraftwerk recently, and there's, you know, some of those songs they play, I close my eyes and I'm back in my mum's back room in 1974, you know. and that's an important thing.
Yeah.
You know, so we like to provide that for our audiences as well. So we don't mind playing the back catalogue. But it's also important for us to keep feeling like we're moving forward.
And I honestly do mean this. If I didn't know your history and I just heard these songs before, I would be completely interested in what you're doing. Like, that's the most important thing to me. Like, these songs, they are immediate. I don't want to use the word relevant because it sounds so business and corporate-like, but
but thank you. I do appreciate the sentiment. Thanks.
Yeah. The paintings that go along with the song titles, do the paintings influence the actual songs, or do you kind of work it in reverse?
Well, we reverse engineer it, really. Basically, we got the title of the album, The Punishment of Luxury, from a painting that's been in the Walker Art Gallery, which Andy's been a fan of. I didn't see until a few years ago, but Andy keeps seeing this painting in the Walker Art Gallery because he loves to go into the Walker Gallery in Liverpool, and I don't live in Liverpool anymore. But he's kept seeing it, and it's called The Punishment of Luxury, the painting, and it's basically about, it was originally called The Punishment of Lust, and we've just appropriated the title, not the painting's meaning, really, because it's kind of women floating in purgatory. It's a really misogynist painting, really. It's like women floating in purgatory because they don't just want to be in the kitchen or make babies. You know what I mean? So the song is definitely not about that. We just took the title, The Punishment of Luxury, because we thought it's a kind of a modern, if you just look at those words, it's kind of a modern topic. You know, we're in this in these times where corporations and marketing people are just feeding us and feeding in this frenzy of advertising of things that we actually don't need, but they make us think that we need them. And you know, it's like you're not happy unless you have the latest Nikes, or you know, a 3D TV isn't good enough, now you need 4K, and you won't be happy until you get one, you know. But these are all the punishments of luxury, kind of like first world problems, if you like.
Well, you know, I was thinking about that word luxury and the era that it sort of invokes beyond the present. And I thought, you know, there's something about that word that's associated with the decadent 80s, which I found interesting because, you know, there's your sort of beginnings in the 80s, and here we are again, and it all makes sense. Unfortunately, again, yeah. You know, here we are in that sort of that same spot for a different reason.
But yes, exactly. Yeah. No, you can kind of tie it back to the kind of the 80s kind of sort of excesses to now, really. Because, I mean, I think people in the Western world are actually much, much better off than I mean, there are obviously the exceptions, but generally we're better off in the Western world than we were sort of 50 years ago. But we seem to be nowhere near as happy because, you know, we're in this sort of cycle of needing more and more and more, when actually we lose sight of the things that actually we don't need all of that stuff to make us happy.
Well, I got to tell you, that first single, and I won't try to screw up the French pronunciation of...
Yeah, Le Matrieux.
Yeah, machine gun is what it means, right?
Yes, exactly.
Like,
and it was basically, that was another painting. It was a painting of the First World War, and that we saw in a gallery, and we basically got we've been working with this animator called Henning Lederer, and he did a couple of videos on the last album, the English Electric album as well, and he's basically an animator, and we told him about the painting, and we said, look, we'd love to animate this and do a soundtrack to the painting, because basically the First World War was the first proper mechanized war ever, mm-hmm. where machines were a big part of the, you know, the killing of people. So we just wanted to write a song about it, really, because the painting was so powerful.
Well, I mean, having that gunfire, right, you know, and that's the first thing we hear from this record. Like, that's a hell of an album announcement. And,
I mean, it wasn't a single. I mean, it was like a teaser.
Yeah,
just
right.
To kind of, to confuse people as well, really. We like to do something different, you know.
Well, that's definitely an attention getter, and you know, and it's not hard to figure out, you know, the relation to what's going on out there, but it's... Yeah, and it was sort of a bold move, and I played it on the air anyway. It was fun to do.
Did you? You played it on the air?
Of course I did.
You're brave. You are very brave. Thank you for doing that.
All the way till the very last gunfire at the very end. But that's
really?
That's the thing, though. It's so cool what you guys did with that, because, you know, it's a scary song. It's a scary song because of everything that it stands, it's not song stand for, but that it's reflecting. But the compliment on all of this is to say that turning that into such a rhythmic track almost takes the fear away, you know? It's sort of, yeah.
Yeah, I know. There is this sort of, and there's this sort of juxtaposition between this kind of, there's all this choral beauty behind, and then all of these kind of scary guns and cannons, you know. There's this kind of angelic vocal behind to kind of try to keep you calm amongst all the, you know, frightening gunfire.
And it almost ends up like a drum line, you know, something that would happen.
Yeah, well, we did it in a very rhythmic way to kind of to make it feel like it's a rhythm, but still keep the feeling that it you're actually in a battle. Yeah. It took us ages. I mean, it took us absolutely ages to do. But also, you know, it's another example of how, you know, wherever we are, we're kind of switched on to things in art galleries or you know, watching documentaries or on YouTube or whatever. We're just all always switched on and tried to bring things that we are interested in into the band and into our songwriting. I mean, even down to, you know, on the side of a painting, there'll be a little description of the painting, and it did say soldiers bending their bodies to the will of the machine, and we went, oh, we'll have that because that's the lyric basically.
I love it. I love these tracks. I cannot wait to hear the rest of it. I'm so happy that you guys are doing what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, we don't have to be doing OMD anymore. You know, it's not like we have to do it for the money. We do it because we love being in OMD. And we feel like we've still got something left to say. So we feel like as long as we continue to still have things to say, the band will continue.
Now, all that stuff is very obvious, you know, from the fan point of view, too. So.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, it was really great talking to you, Paul. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for taking the time to speak to me. That was really nice. Thank you.
Right. Well, take care, and we'll see you around out there.
You take care.
My thanks to Paul Humphreys, OMD, that album, The Punishment of Luxury, and again, to Mark Allman, but of course, thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you get out of here so you can keep up with all the interviews that we do. You get new ones just like this every single week at Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcast from, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Please do give the series a rating and leave a review while you're at it. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s. You get the best in new music, bonus interviews, music news. In fact, one of my recent episodes featured some classics and favorites from George Harrison, the Pixies, the Pogues, Elvis Costello, Pearl Jam, the Black Keys, Michael Kiwanuka, Van Morrison, Robert Plant, Alabama Shakes, Paul Simon, Badfinger, and my interviews with Debbie Gibson, James Bay, and the cast of Bad Monkey on Apple TV+. That's what you get when you tune in weeknights starting 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always at Kyle Meredith. Please do like and follow along. That does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.